There's no better source than EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, part one of our story, A Little Flower of the Blessed Sacrament. A young girl prepares to make her first communion with the rest of her class. She falls ill and doesn't know if she will be able to make her first communion. Please join us for part one of our story. Flower of the Blessed Sacrament. The communion class had been going on for full 5 weeks. When on coming to the hall as usual, I missed Margaret Morrow. It was absolutely impossible not to miss the little child who, in the front row, led all the mites of 6 and 7 in answering the short prayers at the beginning of the class. Impossible not to miss the little girl whose attention so caught me that often, while instructing the whole class, I discovered myself unconsciously addressing myself to her. Somehow that morning, the time dragged. The class of 600 because of the absence of one little child. It seemed to have lost its savor. Her sister Alice was waiting for me at my office when I came downstairs. "Father," she said, "Margaret was taken sick yesterday afternoon, and last night she had a high fever. She was talking of nothing all day but Holy Communion. And of you, Father, she wants to see you. She made me promise to ask you to come and see her." "Well, is she better today?" I asked. "Mama thought she would be, but she was very weak this morning. When Mama asked her whether she wanted breakfast this morning, she said she wanted Father Carney." "Tell Margaret that I'll be down this afternoon, the first chance I get." Accordingly, at 5 o'clock, I entered the Morrow tenement. All the family save Margaret were gathered about the kitchen stove, the school children busy with their books, Mrs. Morrow plying as usual the untiring needle, and the head of the family dangling the baby boy in his arms. They jumped up upon my arrival and all at once in various language expressed a hearty welcome. "Margaret will be so glad," said Alice. "She's been asking every 5 minutes whether Father Carney is coming." "Well, how is she?" "Nothing seems to be the matter with her," answered Mrs. Morrow, "except that she is very weak. This morning, after the children had gone to school, she begged me to let her get up, but of course I kept her in bed. Then she asked whether she could get up at 1 o'clock so she could go to the communion class. I told her to wait and I would see about it. Between 9 and 10 o'clock, I went downstairs to get some groceries, and my husband came along with me. We were gone only a few minutes. But when I came back, I found Margaret holding one stocking in her hand, lying on the floor. She had attempted to get up and get dressed. She wasn't unconscious, but she was so weak that she fell over and couldn't get up." "And Father," supplemented Alice, "when Mama said, 'Margaret, why don't you stay in bed?' she answered, 'I don't want to miss communion class.' And when Mama told her she'd have to stay at home, she turned her face to the wall and said not a word. But Mama could see that she was crying." "Have you had a doctor for Margaret, Mrs. Morrow?" "No, Father. My children have all been so healthy that I've never thought of getting a doctor." "If you have no objections, I'll have Dr. Kelly call tonight or tomorrow morning." Thank you, Father. Well, I'd have said for one, except..." "I understand, Mrs. Morrow, but don't worry about the expense. Dr. Kelly would charge it to me. And now, let me see Margaret." The mother and I went into the adjoining room together. Margaret was evidently awaiting me. She was supported in a half-reclining position on 2 pillows. "Oh, Father," she said and caught my hand, "I am so glad to see you." "Well, Margaret, how do you feel?" "All right, only..." "I have a pain here," she said, and putting her hand on her nightdress a little below the neck. "But it isn't much. Father, are you going to put me out of the class?" "Why, Margaret?" "Because I missed today." "Margaret, you may miss a week, if you like, and I promise not to put you out. You know that today a week, all the children of the first, second, and third grade are going to make their first communion." "And may I make it with them, Father, even though I'm sick?" "Yes, my dear, every day, if you keep on missing, Alice will explain the lesson, and Alice knows the catechism better than any one of the 600. Is there anything else you want, Margaret?" "Yes, Father, I want to go to confession." The mother left the room, and the pale, beautiful, waxen-faced child told her little tale in perfect innocence, simplicity, and love. At the end, I gave her a special blessing and expressed the hope that she would be with us on the morrow. But the hope was not realized. Dr. Kelly called at my office next morning, just as I was making ready to go up to the hall. "Father, that little girl, Margaret Morrow, is, I fear, a very sick girl." "You don't say so, Doctor." "I certainly do. Her heart is weak, very weak. Unless matters take a turn for the better, in 3 or 4 days, I don't see how I can pull her through." "I suppose you're rather surprised to see me coming in when I could have gotten you on the phone." "You read my thoughts, Doctor." "Well, the fact is, little Margaret insisted on my coming to see you personally before 11 o'clock this morning. She doesn't care a snap what I think about the case, but she cares everything as to what you think. She wants to make her communion with the little ones of her grade next Monday. That would take a miracle." "Very well, then," I said. "We'll have the miracle." "Just as you say, Father," said the doctor with his wry, wise smile. "But one thing is certain. You're not going to get her out of her snowy cot. It is snowy, by George. If it isn't a tenement, till I say so." I charged David, the office boy, to call up Miss Quinlan and Mrs. Margaret and Teresa Dalton and let them know at once that Margaret Morrow was very ill. As the week went on, there came no improvement to the sick child. She grew quieter, said little, and lay in her cot, a gift from Teresa Dalton, so arranged that her eyes could fall upon her favorite picture. She showed no anxiety to get well, except in so far as would enable her to go to Holy Communion on the following Monday. On Saturday, the doctor called me up. "I'm sorry to say, Father, that your sweet, charming little patient is not long for this world. There's no cure for a heart like hers." I at once telephoned Miss Quinlan and the Daltons. On Sunday afternoon, I was again with my little invalid. No flower was ever fairer than her face. Illness had made it sweeter and added to it an otherworldliness, the beauty of which, in the face of death, is born of childlike faith and innocence. The room, as usual, spotless, was bright with lilies and fragrant with violets. Margaret and Teresa Dalton and Miss Quinlan were present, so I could easily account for the flowers. "Father," said Alice, speaking as I could see, in the name of the whole family and of the three visitors, "Margaret has become so worried. The doctor told her last that she could positively not get up for Monday." "And I told the doctor the other day, when he said that it would take a miracle to get her ready for communion with the others, that if it were necessary, we would have a miracle." "Oh, Father," cried Alice, "are you going to work a miracle?" "No, my dear, but what greater miracle is there in the world than for our Lord to come to the homes of sick little boys and girls when they can't come to him? Margaret, my dear, how would you like our Lord to come to you tomorrow morning?" Margaret sat up in bed. "Oh, so much!" Out went the two hands, fluttering like white doves, in a sweeping, far-flung gesture, and with it the frail body sank back into the cot. "Would you like me to examine you, my dear? You know, all the little ones of your class have been examined already, and all have passed. I believe there are none in the first grade who know their matter better than you, so you needn't be afraid." "I am not afraid," said Margaret. "Lie just as you are. Now, when you go to communion, what do you receive?" "The body and blood of our Lord under the form that looks like bread." "And when you receive, what does the thing you receive look like?" "Bread." "What does it taste like?" "Bread." "Then it is bread." "No, it isn't," said Margaret. She shook her head with vigor. "How do you know it isn't bread?" "By faith, our Lord told us." "And do you believe it firmly?" Margaret nodded her head with still greater vigor. May you eat anything before communion, not from 12 o'clock at night, unless you are very, very sick. And are you very, very sick? I don't know, she answered. Well, Margaret, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, I'm coming here with our Lord, and you needn't fast. But I want to fast, she said decidedly. You do as your mama tells you. And, Margaret, when people are very sick, what does the priest do? He anoints them with oil. Then I'm going to anoint you, so that if it's God's will, you may get well. Thank you, Father. Am I going to have my communion dress? You certainly are, put in Miss Quinlan. And, Father, if you have no objection, Margaret and Teresa Dalton and myself will be here. Nothing, I said, would please me better. The three young ladies were near to tears. Next morning, when I entered the room, hallowed by the innocent invalid, I noticed in a glance the loving care of loving hands on every side. There were flowers in profusion. The table was covered with a snow-white cloth, and everything upon it, from crucifix to silver spoon, was immaculate. Poverty, hand in hand with cleanliness, has a beauty all its own. Upon the cot lay Margaret, in the white splendor of her communion dress. Should an angel be called upon to assist a human vesture, he need not have gone further than the room in the poor tenement. Love, devotion, faith, gave the fair face of the beauty that is beyond the gift of power of this earth. Miss Quinlan whispered, "She is an angel." Seemed to have a literal meaning. Supported by Alice on one side and Miss Quinlan on the other, Margaret received him who still calls out, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Slowly she was allowed to sink back upon her pillow, where with closed eyes she remained perfectly still. Only for a moment of the lips, one would have thought her dead. We tiptoed out of the room. A great reverence had come upon us all, and for several minutes we spoke in whispers. So low were our tones that a faint voice calling, "Father," called me to start. "Well, Margaret," I said, in answer to her call, "Father, may I go often?" "My child, if you like, you may receive our Lord every day." A wave of beauty, the beauty that is not of the earth, swept over her face. "Now, Father, I am going to pray for you." Tomorrow, part two of our story. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, Little Flowers of the Sacrament, was from the book Fairies of the Snows by Father Francis Finn. For a copy of parts 1 and 2 of our story, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through